Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. There are few people out there who are covering the entire spectrum of the transhuman track and trace surveillance, technocratic insanity going on around the world on such a level as my guest today. I'm very excited to welcome Tim Hinchcliffe to the show. Thank you for joining me, sir. I've been looking forward to speaking to you for quite a while.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I've been following you for a while as well, and I'm really excited for this.
Great. Well, first and foremost, I want you to tell my audience a little bit about your background and you, and then we'll get into your amazing work and all the everything that you've been covering on your website that is just phenomenal.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, as a person, I'm an American. I live in Colombia. I've been here for 10 years now down in South America. Got my start in journalism down here. Volunteering for interning at publication called Columbia Reports, reported all about Colombia, the cartels, the guerrillas, the civil war, and all things like that. After that, I went to Africa, to Ghana, and I was a reporter there for the Ghanaian Chronicle, did another internship there. Wow. And then I missed Colombia so much and wanted to come back that I made my way back to Colombia and started getting into tech. And I started writing about startups and businesses for The Sociable. Quickly realized that that kind of bored me. And I was looking more into artificial intelligence, and I got really excited about the potentials of AI and what good tech could do. And then I started to see how all the dystopian technocratic nightmares that can come about through its use and through policy. So on The Sociable, sociable.co, that's what I cover. I cover technology that's coming out of intelligence agencies, defense departments, and then how, and big tech as well, and then how that technology, the policies that unelected globalist think tanks and governments want to impose with it.
Yeah, and you really dig deep into it. You also come with receipts, which not everyone does. I mean, there's two sides to this that I think people are wondering about, at least not that follow me, is the threat what they are telling, is there an aspect to the threat? Like we hear different people from Elon Musk to, you know, all the way to all the Davos people and their partners and all this talk about how much it's going to displace people. We're not going to, you know, Harari, other people, we're not going to need people. We're not going to need workers. We're, you know, it's going to take over elections. It's going to take over everything. Like there's a fear mongering about AI. And then, like you're saying, they're actually as if it was in good hands and it was being used for good of humanity, there's amazing, you know, opportunity to better humanity. So what do you see it as right now? Do you think that the fear porn kind of AI is propaganda, or do you see it as it's a race to see who will control it? Where are we in that situation?
There is a bit, the fear porn is a bit propagandish. I mean, when you start talking about when they talk about the singularity and artificial general intelligence coming very quickly and then replacing us all at this quick pace, yeah, I can see that happening. But I'm more concerned and worried about the people running the show, the ideologies, the agendas behind everything. So, and that's where it's moving into the whole transhumanism thing, where they want to merge humans with technology and then also do genetic editing and change who we are basically as a species. You say that there's AI and all these different technologies can do wonders of good, especially in the medical field. Like I would love to have a system that knows, you know, if I had a tracking system that knew what was going on in my body and they could help me discover like, hey, you have this gene, or hey, there's this defect that maybe later on that we can just insert something and provide a little treatment here, then you don't have to worry about this. I have celiac disease for one, so I can't consume gluten. And I'd love if there was a way that they could figure out how to manipulate something and look inside and fix that. But I don't trust anybody with that.
Right.
So it's all about surveillance and putting poisons and toxins and controlling you one way or the other. Just look at the food systems, especially in the US. Whenever I go to the US, even eating the food, like I get stupider and dumber.
Wow.
I get lazy and tired and confused and irritated just from things like high fructose corn syrup or whatever chemicals they put in there. So yeah, I don't trust him.
Yeah, I don't either. And that's the hardest part is like you want to, but then you see that Eric Schmidt is actually behind the scenes in the Biden administration writing the AI Bill of Rights after he wrote a terrifying book, apparently with Henry Kissinger, the architect of everything trying to fight right now. So what are your thoughts on this whole idea about, you know, AI and warfare and all of this? I find it all very... at least what Eric Schmidt is doing back there, you know, he even not only is he running through Schmidt Futures and the back end of the Obama White House, O'Biden White House, the whole AI development and all of that, but a lot of the AI contractors that are contractors of the Department of Defense and other groups, it seems that they are kind of all in it for what can we do and not much about where's the limits, where there's a line for humanity. So when you look into that aspect of it, as you do, do you see any kind of oversight? Is there kind of this idea of if we can do it, we should? Or do you see anyone saying, no, we probably shouldn't do that?
I see more of the, especially they look at outside threats, you know, in defense departments. So, and now it's like China and Iran and maybe Russia. So there, I think for the military, for the Pentagon, it's more about if you can't beat them, join them. They're going to, in other words, they're going to put this technology out there anyway. So we better beat them to it. That's right. A better way of putting it. So what
Oppenheimer,
if we don't do it, they will. So we need to do it. So I think, and I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago, I was covering Schmidt, Eric Schmidt in Congress. And he said one of his greatest fears was a war that lasts like a millisecond and it's using AI. So China launches a missile or is about to do something, then AI system, you know, against Korea or something like that. And then an AI system intercepts it and nobody knows what happened. Nobody knows how that happened. So that's when you get autonomous, the autonomy of AI. So like even in drone strikes or drone swarms, what they're doing is having all these drones swarming in unison and attacking. And, you know, right now, DARPA has been working a lot on having human operators communicate with these drones and these swarms to try to do that AI human teaming. But in the future, they could be all autonomous. And that's a scary scenario.
It is scary. You know what, though? When we were little, I'm probably a little older than you, but when we were little, there was War Games, the movie, and the war was being fought by computers. And we were all like, weird, cool, not realizing. And I don't know. Do you think this, I have on a different, another scientist that says to me, anything that we're learning about, not people like you that actually go read the white papers and DARPA, but I'm talking about the things that actually get out. He always says that he thinks they're 50 years ahead of whatever we're hearing. And that, you know, if we're hearing about it or it's coming creeping through one of the CIA or Intel owned media news places, that actually the technology is far more advanced. Because I know you look at Rand and some of the other documents. Do you believe that that's actually true, that whatever, that they are way more advanced than we know?
Right. Yes, definitely. I've heard 20-year in advance, kind of time frame, 50. Yeah, maybe. I mean, we haven't gone to the moon in how long, you know, that's the old technology, but if we did, so what they're coming out with, you know, with RAND being sponsored by the Pentagon and what other intel aid or defense departments like in the UK and Canada looking into the transhumanism thing. One of the things they're looking into is the genetic editing in human performance enhancement. And they even discuss, adding reptilian genes to humans so that they can see in infrared. And then doing things so they can breathe longer underwater, they can run faster, jump higher, hit harder, think smarter, do things way faster than any other human being. And then once that happens, they're talking about it now. They've been researching and probably developing this for a long time. So in the future, then once someone does have those capabilities, what happens to the people that don't have those capabilities? You know, what kind of split is there? Kind of advantages would they have in the workforce or in life or in general? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It seems to me a little bit eugenic-y. Darwinism on steroids with technology. You know, China brags about having that already. And it's very terrifying to think that, because even not that long ago, a few years ago, I was doing a lot of looking into CRISPR technology, and that seemed pretty crazy. And now the things that come out, you're like, what? And then, you know, they have to be testing it. So I'd like to know where and who they are testing this stuff on. But at the same time, you know, people have to understand that this is all being developed, and we, I believe, are paying for it. On top of that, I saw the big bill. You know, they just passed this whole thing with all this funding, and I saw Eric Schmidt come out, and he said, "Doesn't matter. It's not going to really go to Ukraine. It's really going to go to the Pentagon and to the contractors to build more weapons here. So it's a win-win for America." On top of that, and I'm thinking, "Oh my good Lord, they don't even hide it now." I hear a lot of talk about the metaverse has now involved into the Finiverse, which is a financial metaverse. And of course, I come from a screenwriting and movie background of 20 years. So then I think of Ready Player One, and that's the kind of future they want for us with a little bit of Minority Report put into it. So when you hear all the talk about the metaverse, and then you see that, you know, the World Economic Forums, all they're putting out all this stuff about it, they're very excited. The UN's talking about the metaverse. The World Bank and BIS are talking about the metaverse. I think people are thinking, well, what are they talking about? A video game? What are they actually talking about?
Yeah, so metaverse is, it's a big one. It's coming. It's going to be the future, the way we see interact with the internet in the future. And so instead of keyboards and screens, you know, you got virtual reality, you got hand movement, you got voice detection. Even with thoughts, that's coming around, you know, whatever your thoughts are to move things around. But another aspect of it is augmented reality, mixed reality, extended reality. And that one is actually a little more, for me, more, I want to look into it more, because that means you have on these AR goggles that you see the world around you, and there's a layer of virtual on top of it. But what you see is being recorded. So where does that data go? So what you see, what you hear. And in the metaverse, even when Zuckerberg showed his vision a couple of years ago, and they were showing how in your own apartment, you know, with these glasses, what they're doing is picking up every single object that's there, and they know where that object is from. And in the future, the WTO and World Economic Forum put out a report about digital identity of not just people, but objects as well. So every single item is documented. And they say that, oh, it's great because with these, they can tell you when you've lost something. Right. Oh, yeah, it's over here. You know, this is the object placement. Yeah,
the
that's
question
great.
There is, who are they?
Exactly. The technology. Yeah. But yeah, where does that data go? And it's just a recording of all your life. And it's going to be very invasive. And if you choose to step out of it, then you could be excluded from a lot of things in society as most things go digital. Governments. You know, tech companies, and then most aspects of your life is digital. And if you choose not to, then I mean, might as well just go live on a mountain in Colombia somewhere.
Yeah, well, you got a head start. I'll have to find out your address is. No, but so this is a very important thing to talk about. And this is why I really love your articles, because like I said, you put a lot of links in there, because a lot of people would think that this is how's this possible? But I do a lot of stuff on the Global Public Private Partnership of the World Economic Forum, UN, and all the other tentacles, and above them, the banking cartel that funds it all. And this is all very real. And to them, this is their way, I believe, to achieve Agenda 2030 and the 17 sustainable development goals, to what I call full track and trace surveillance totalitarian technocracy. But what you just said, I think too many people do not fully grasp the next level of what we're dealing with. So people put their hands on the thing and at the Amazon stores and Whole Foods and get their hands scanned, or they'll go to Clear and get their eyes scanned. I think, like, didn't you see Minority Report? You know what happens if you ever go on the run? They have your eyes scanned, but you get your eyes scanned. People have everyone has their faces to get into their apps, all of that. And you've really dug into the Internet of Body, Internet of Things, and the digital public infrastructure. And what you just said is so important, which is not just that they're getting all your data, but that there is a way to make sure if you do not get on this ledger blockchain infrastructure thing, you won't be able to participate in society at all. I mean, it really does seem that at that point, we are no longer free. If we are right now with all the surveillance, which I don't think we are, but you know, we can still kind of fight it. But once and if ever their vision, which is their vision, which you clearly put out all the documents that it is absolutely their vision. And I call them the parent company of the world over there. But you either have to participate or you can't participate in most things in life.
Mm-hmm. Well, what happened, looking at digital identity. So in India, then they rolled out the Aadhaar digital identity system over a decade ago. And they said it was, they still say to this day that it's completely voluntary. But then governments, like local governments, started mandating it for certain services. And so like even to open up a bank account. So yeah, it's voluntary, but if you don't get it, then you can't open a bank account. If you can't open a bank account, then you can't store the money if you can't participate. So yeah, all these things come together. The same thing happening in the EU, you know, they say right now it's going to be voluntary, but once they start, you know, like putting on other layers to it, they're going to make it more difficult for you until you get it. It's the same thing would happen during the whole last few years with vaccinations. You know, they made it almost impossible to vax passports, to participate in society without them. Voluntary, right. But if you don't, then you can't do anything. They did it here in Colombia pretty late, just before Christmas. And so I couldn't go back to the United States to see my family because I wouldn't have been able to come back to Colombia to enter the country. And on Christmas Eve, I went to a national park, state park in the jungle, and they wouldn't let me in because I didn't have a proof of vaccination.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I was like that in New York City. I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't get my hair cut. I couldn't do anything. It was so insane. And I was watching this because I've written a lot of scripts where I like dug into different times and periods, like 1930s Germany or, you know, the 50s in China. And you're thinking like, what is going on? But if you don't know, you don't know. And that's another problem with this kind of virtual reality kind of. What's happening is that you've talked about obviously a lot of this stuff, but the internet is being scraped. And I'm at a point where, and I'm sure when you research too, things that were available 2 years ago are completely gone. And and now we're at a point where I know that it's, if you Google something, I think Google's like 100% involved in the controlled demolition of the world. But if you Google anything right now, which didn't used to happen in the past, the first 4 or 5 pages won't only be Intel media and, you know, all the captured media, but then it will be World Economic Forum, World Health Organization, UN, UNESCO. And you're thinking like, when did this become that these globalist organizations are now the only true sources of information? So you've watched this happen. So how is it? So is the internet, is there going to be any kind of, future world where the internet is for everyone, or are they turning it into like a totally 1984 internet and there will be no going back? Is there going to be a decentralized, what's in the works to kind of fight that, if anything?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that people will create these kind of parallel systems. They might not be, the thing is about Google, like the engine, the technology, it works really well, but it's being manipulated. Right. Even I broke the story a couple years ago with the Melissa Fleming, the communications director from the United Nations. She told the World Economic Forum that we partnered with Google because over climate change, because they were alarmed that when they Googled something that all this different stuff that they didn't agree with came up. So what they did, the UN partnered with Google and they said, we own the science and the platforms do too. So there is all that manipulation. That is what they're going to. That's what they want to do. That's what they want to control. And they want you to have the digital identity as your passport to the metaverse. Like they have to know who you are, what you're looking at, what you say, in order to derank you or whatever on whoever you are, or just unperson you. You know. So this has been going on for a long time. But I think that people can create alternatives and parallel ones. The only thing is they don't have the backing, the finance, or you know. So. But when you get enough people together as a community that are really passionate about something, then something good can come out of it.
We are right now in $34 trillion worth of debt. We have geopolitical chaos everywhere. The central bank digital currency is looming. The BRICS nations have expanded beyond Saudi Arabia and continue to expand. And all I know is that many experts keep telling me that gold and silver is the best way to hedge against inflation and to protect your savings going forward. Did you know you can convert your 401k and IRA into physical gold and silver today? It can be shipped direct to your door or stored in a secure location. So go to our partners page at themelkayshow.com, fill out the form, and someone from Beverly Hills Precious Metals will get in touch with you right away to help you figure out the best course for you and your family ahead. Stay secure, stay safe, and prepare now. Right. Now, when you look at it from your point of view and your perspective, and you look around and you see the whole landscape of what's happening, what thing out there do you think is the thing that people should know is happening and is real, that you think is something that's being suppressed or people aren't talking about? Because to me, I think a lot of the stuff that we're saying is already happening. I look at the internet. What bothers me the most about everyone's freaking out about the warrantless surveillance 702, didn't read the document where it's like they're completely expanding it and they're saying, oh no, that's only for foreigners. No, foreigners have no constitutional rights. You don't need to get a FISA warrant for a foreigner. So that's not true. But the scary part to me, even bigger, is and Edward Snowden's out there kind of, hello, you were too, I was too. But the NSA has a relationship with the Five Eyes nations, as does the CIA, FBI, where they all share intel. And if they can't spy on somebody here, which we know that they have every way they can now, then they will just get them to do it here or vice versa. And then there's also an agreement with the U.S. with all our lob intel that I believe is all pretty much unconstitutional out of the Patriot Act, unconstitutional too. They have a relationship with the EU as well. And then they also have a relationship, and this is our intel agencies, with the corporations, and they have a relationship with the globalists and our NSA and everyone together have like this anti-terrorism thing with all of big tech. So aren't we right now already being fully track traced and surveilled? And people should actually know that. I feel like if people understood this, they would have a problem.
Yes, we already are. But what's coming in the future is going to be even worse. And you're right about these public-private partnerships, which is just the merger of corporation and state, which is fascism, corporatism. Skirting around laws by you know going with the Five Eyes and all of that spying. But what one thing that DARPA and the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency is working on is looking at preconscious brain signals to figure out what someone believes to be true or not. They use that in the context, they say the reason they're doing it is to help soldiers with PTSD and traumas and depression. So they want to say, like, here's something, do you believe this is true? And then they can read their preconscious brain signals to determine that. And that's exactly what Yuval Noah Harari was talking about at Davos in 2020. He said that one day that you have your headset on, that's collecting these brain, that it's decoding your brain. And then the government, they'll know if you feel excited or happy or sad about something. They'll know if you're believing what you're hearing or not. And then, boom, then that's the like even more ultimate kind of surveillance track like, and trace. And
is it like
and with that, then they can share that with other governments.
But is it also like pre-crime, like Minority Report for real, like that they can use that for pre-crime? That's what that sounds like to me.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, they know what you're feeling, and then they can extract intent from that. If you're feeling bad about that something or angry about something, then they'll think, oh, well, that person doesn't really like this, so they're probably going to intend to do something else that we don't like. So, target that person or just shut them off.
And they have that technology already. And then now let me ask you, because a lot of things came out during the I call it the plandemic, but the COVID operation that I think they didn't want to come out. I honestly think that they thought that it was going to, from event 201 forward, they just thought that it was going to just roll out lockstep. Everyone's going to get involved. We did enough propaganda. We put out enough money. We did. And that didn't happen. And there were people like me and you and other people out there like, whoa, whoa, whoa. But then that ballooned and ballooned and ballooned to many, many millions of people that actually see this for what it is. And we do have, though, I know you covered it, too. I did as well. This document came out from NATO about the battle for the brain and cognitive warfare that basically was saying that they can use individual brains or groups of people's brains as basically weapons to cause chaos. And it made me think back to Michael Aquino, the Satanist in chief of the psychological operations division of the army back in the 60s, that talked about mind wars, destroying a country without firing a shot by using cognitive warfare and mind warfare. And here's NATO rolling out a document in 2020, basically being like, not only can we do it, but we can target the person, the individual, we can do this and that. Now, what is that through? Is that through frequency? Is that through manipulation online or anything? Is it a whole bunch of things? So when they say that they can manipulate the brain and cognitive warfare, what are they actually talking about when it comes to the individual person?
Well, this one, I actually didn't read this NATO one. So I'm not sure what they're talking about there. But from my research, what I've seen is a lot of it is just flooding the channel with noise.
Okay.
So that's just one way, just information, just giving so much, putting so much information out there, some of it true, some of it not, mixing it all together, confusing people that way. Now, when you get to signals, there's a lot of people out there that say that they're targeted people and that they do get these, right. they receive these signals. So I haven't looked too much into that, but I'm sure the technology is there. I think especially, I don't know how advanced quantum is.
Right.
Right now, they're saying that we don't have really the best computers, so we're not really accurate with those things. But I think once quantum comes around, then you can just do direct messaging using signals. They can go right straight to the brain. So if they have that already or not, I don't know. But I think that'd be one way of what they would go with.
Yeah, there's this, I'll send you the link. There's this, I don't know how they let it out, but there's this Zoom chat from the iInnovation Hub, because NATO's mind control hub is in Virginia for whatever reason. And it's a Zoom call and they're talking about it. And they're talking about that they can target people's brains and manipulate them, but it's not fully clear. Go ahead.
That reminds me, yeah, there was something that DARPA was looking into a few years ago. And I wrote a story about it and I linked it to, connected it with Nikola Tesla's theory of acoustics and for mind control.
That's what I'm talking about.
He said
about.
That like the brain and the earth, they all work on a certain frequency. And if you just tinker that frequency a bit, you can tinker with that as well. So the acoustic frequencies, yes, definitely. Yeah, it's been so many years since I wrote about that and thought about that one. So,
I know,
yeah,
but I dig up articles of yours from years ago sometimes when I'm like, wait a minute, is this real? So then one of the things that I was reading about that, because now we're seeing all these uprisings that obviously aren't organic, from what's going on right now to Black Lives Matter. It's been all over the world. I mean, this is something that's happening. Look back to the Arab Spring. And so when you see something like that and you say that they can use frequency, I think that one example was in Colombia, somewhere in South America, that they like tested it and they made like a whole village get like nuts. And it was a frequency test of some sort. So to me, when I see these uprising all around, not only do I think that there's paid protesters, but you can't help but wonder, like, are they doing other things that are, I mean, we know CIA, National Endowment for Democracy, the whole color revolution model, but you do have to wonder if there's a frequency or something we don't know about. A lot of people did speculate also during COVID that the vaccine, people had nanotechnology, all of that. So, you know, there is a very, you know, there's a lot of questions out there about, you know, how far they've come. And I just look at these uprisings and I think, They're like on clockwork, and boom, they got all these
elections.
Right, exactly.
During election years, this all seemed to happen. Yeah.
Now, from your point of view, from Colombia, looking at America right now as an American, what do you see? What do you see? Because I like to talk to people that aren't here, because you're obviously in America right now, very censored. I fully believe that MSNBC is an intelligence operation, especially when you look at who's working. So it's still laughable to me that people think Mika Brzezinski, the daughter of Zig Brzezinski, is a journalist. But, you know, or Nicole Wallace that said that rendition was fine during Iraq. But they're journalists after all. But again, I think having a perspective from a foreign country of your country, what are you seeing?
I see. Well, yeah, because I'm not there in person, and I don't, all I hear is a little bit from family, but not much. So I see a divide in rural versus urban, and I see a lot of wokeness. What really surprised me over the last couple of years is when I go visit the United States, would be all the commercials, just the diversity hires, and then what's going on in Hollywood too, you know, like just remaking everything and just changing a gender, a sex, a color or whatever, and just trying to put that out there. So that's like the media stuff is what I'm seeing. And it just, it looks like people are losing their minds. At the same time, looking on X, you know, looking at sources online, I see a lot of backlash, and I see a lot of freedom fighters and people standing up for themselves as well. Mostly the people standing up I see in rural areas, and the people who are just going around as kind of sheep are in the cities. So that's what I'm seeing from afar.
Now you spent time in Africa and in Colombia, and because I believe that we have like a global public-private partnership that are manipulating the world with a lot of tentacles, both in multinational corporations and NGOs that are worldwide, but all the tentacles of the UN. And then I believe the bankers all the way up to the BIS, in my opinion. So I just had on somebody from Brazil who's telling me that like almost everything that's going on here is going on there to some extent. And that when she follows the path, she's bumping into the same money and the same people that I do when I do my speeches. What do you see in Colombia right now that you think that are the sustainable development goals there? Is the UN embedded there? Are all of these things that obviously were working in unison during COVID, have they taken over, and are the people buying it?
Yeah, so they've taken over. So first of all, we've got a socialist president, and he's completely on board with the World Economic Forum. Even the previous president, who wasn't socialist, was part of the World Economic Forum as well. So both Gustavo Petro, the current president, and Iván Duque, they're all on board with this. In Medellin, which is the second largest city, it's right, just about an hour from where I am, you have the one of the centers for the fourth industrial revolution.
Oh.
And you have Bill Gates' World Mosquito Program, the Gates Foundation World Mosquito Program. They're the ones that inject them with all this stuff, right, and then release them elsewhere in the
malaria
world.
Malaria.
So that's happening right here. And so then the government is very much on board with the sustainable development goals and all this this climate stuff. So they want to reduce carbon emissions everywhere, but they don't have the infrastructure. They're corrupt as hell. The people aren't really on board with it. There's protests all over the place.
Oh, good. That was my question. Do the people get it?
Brazil, it's economic. It's, you know, they don't know if it's, you know, like it's this policy stuff. All they care about is, hey, I don't have any money, I can't get a job, what you're doing is bad. So I don't know if they understand all the intricacies of it. They just know that, hey, the price of avocados went way up. Why is that?
You
know,
right.
So yeah.
Yeah, it's just starting here, but I mean, that is what's going on everywhere. And it's, for me, it's just a giant consolidation of power. And I think in places like Colombia, again, we also have the issue of the IMF and World Bank coming in with giant loans, or, you know, the regime change people that do that. So there's a lot of that too, that's going on with buying. I mean, during COVID, remember the not just in Brazil, but in Belarus, there were other people that were like, no, the IMF just came and offered me a ton of money to get to go do this. And it's hard to deny that, like, that kind of thing's going on. Now, I know it's been a while, but you see what's going on. To me, what's going on all over the world has something to do also with that there's two different dichotomies trying to work. And one of them is obviously the the CCP, Belt and Road Initiative, and all of that. But to me, then you see that the World Economic Forum and the UN have people from the CCP at the very top of those two. So people think that there's some kind of battle between, and I keep saying to people, we got to really look at what's going on, because they appear to be at the very, very top. The actual parent company of the planet seems to all be working together. I don't know where the lines are drawn. But when you when you're looking around on a global scale, and you know the technology, and that I think the full goal is to have a global, like you said, that like we you talked about in your latest article on the digital public infrastructure, that this includes all countries. It's not just like America and the Five Eyes nations. No, this includes Russia and China and India as well. So it's very confusing, I think, that people think that the BRICS is separating from here, yet when it comes to the digital infrastructure, they would all have to be participating, right?
Yeah, they're setting up the whole infrastructure. So it can be siloed, it can be multipolar, but it's all going to be interoperable. That's the key word there. So whoever's in power, or whatever the pendulum swings in one way or the other, all the infrastructure is still there, no matter who's running it. So yeah, the digital public infrastructure that's happening all over the world. Even a couple of years ago, you know, they used to do the cyber polygon exercises, because they were predicting cyber pandemics and things. That was held in Moscow.
Right.
And even there, you know, like they were talking about building out the central bank digital currency, and they even had the deputy governor, whatever, of the central bank there. I forgot, Zabotsky, I think his name was. And he was talking about, with a digital ruble, you can give, this digital ruble to your kids and have restrict purchases of junk food and things like that. Right. So they're already throwing that out. At other World Economic Forum meetings, you got the Ukrainian deputy prime minister, and he was the head of technology, I forgot what it's called, but Mikhailo Fedorov, I think.
Fedorov. Didn't they go full fourth industrial revolution in Ukraine too?
Yeah, it's the Russia and Ukraine doing the exact same stuff with the whole on the whole technology front. So yeah, it's the strings are being pulled from elsewhere on this.
Yeah, I've been saying there's one foot in and one foot out on both sides of Ukraine and Russia, and people just don't really seem to get that. But you're right, and I've told people this many times when they say no, the World Economic Forum kicked out Russia. I'm like, oh yeah, go look up the cyber polygon exercise and tell me who was running that. And at the same time, America's like Russia hacked the election. And I'm like, well, they're involved in a whole thing. Now, last question for you is this. So there's people out there, I have on Jason Burmes and some other people that talk a lot about this stuff too. They say that the entire satellite system that would, if we all, that we have to walk into it, America especially, for this even to like have any shot. You know, they can't do this whole thing, this 17 sustainable goals, you know, Agenda 2030, really kick it to the next level if America's not participating. And that's why I say right now, they're not after America, they're after the world, but America's in the way. So if they don't get rid of our Constitution or our Bill of Rights, and as Larry Fink and you said earlier, go direct to the people, skip the Constitution, Bill of Rights, and the government, and really do it through tech and corporations, and they don't get Americans to sign on to this and walk in eyes wide open, they really can't make it work. But there are people that say that the satellites that Musk and other people all over the world have sent up and everything, that the whatever you would need around the planet is already constructed. And that there was technology in the infrastructure bill and in the Green New Deal bill and all these bills and a lot of the executive orders that Biden's put out about biometric data and ledger technology and all of this, that the system is actually built. But the question is, would it work? So there's like this thing like, okay, well, you built the system, but is it ready for prime time? And there's people out there that say no. And they keep panicking because we're not close enough to the 17 development goals. Well, is it that they're not close enough? So what's your take on that?
Well, I love the, I always want to believe that that independent spirit of America still lives on. And I see that a lot. But also I saw during COVID, or during the last 4 years, 3 or 4 years, I'll say, that how many people just laid down and just took it all. But I do see One of the obstacles they have, you know, getting America on board is the legislative process. It has to be legislated because we do have a constitution,
right,
you know, and
now.
so those have to be protected. And there are different states, I think, that are going around saying no to CBDCs, which
Right.
is great. Others might not. So to get it as that's the thing, you know, we're states, you know, we're rural versus urban. And so if we don't get all on board together in this, I think it can be defeated. I don't really have much faith in elections or politics or either party.
Me neither.
Just, you know, different sides of the same coin.
I think it's such a farce at this point. And I think they're all being surveilled by the blob. And I think the intelligence blob works for the parent company that's running America. Like, I think that we are in a very, very uncharted territory. But I think there's more people that think what we think, which is both sides are completely captured to some extent, and it's really up to the people and state by state and county by county, getting people to understand what you're talking about and then looking for those in their areas. Because I say to people, go look for 17 sustainable development goals or the World Economic Forum or any of this language for surveillance or sustainability in your local community. You know, what are they voting on in your city council? Because another thing that people don't seem to understand is that they have the C40 cities. Bloomberg has the 700 mayors thing. They have all these different groups that are they put all over the world that look like little tiny World Economic Forum, like spurs everywhere or whatever. So I think that there's also a lot of opportunity for people to become like investigators in their local community and look at, because it has to work. Like what you talk about and what we're talking about with the interoperability and everything, they have to have these receptors or these surveillance things everywhere for it to work. It can't like skip a state. So I feel like people do have power in that sense.
Yeah, I'm just worried that people, especially with the economic situation nowadays, is that people, and then, well, it's always been this way through history, you know, just worried so much about putting food on the table, paying rent and stuff that they can't even focus on this, you know, and then that's by design. So you just keep them battered down and slaving away. And meanwhile, it's just all this thing behind them is being constructed and they're not even seeing it. So like, how can you even worry about that when you got an empty stomach, your kid's crying, you know, like you got the bills to pay. So that's the one way I think they're hammering this in. And then plus, yeah, the influx of illegal immigrants everywhere and just destroying culture and everywhere. It's demoralizing, but you got to look through that and see what it is, really.
Do you think their technology, if is there, that they could actually pull this off? The technology, the energy needed, all of that.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's all there. It's just a matter of policy. It's just about getting people on board with it. Yeah, and getting it all organized. And it's also strategic. You know, you don't want to do it all at once. You got to. Do a slow tiptoe into it, but the tech is there.
That's really important. You're doing incredible work. Will you tell my audience how to find you, how to follow you? And let me tell you something. If you go to his website and look up his work, you're going to spend hours because you have one article and then at the bottom it links to another one. You're like, no way. It's awesome. Your work is great. So tell everyone where to follow you.
Thank you. Well, the website is sociable.co, and pretty much on X is where you can follow me, Tim Hinchliff, and then The Sociable. So great. Those are the main outlets.
Great. Well, keep up the great work. And next time I see you put up something totally insane that I know is true, I'll be in touch to bring it back. But thank you so much for really staying on top of something that's very complex and for boiling it down so that people like me can understand it. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for watching the show. You know, I'm always looking for solutions, and there's one thing that I stress all the time. We have three things that really, really count in this fight to save America: our time, our money, and our vote. Well, every time you spend your money at one of the big box stores or one of the multinational corporations, you are giving them money to fund the controlled demolition of America. They do it through foundations and other means to make sure that our country is divided and not strong and not united. So what you need to do is you need to find a better way to invest in America with your dollars. I have found a solution. If you go to the partners page at themelkayshow.com and click on Set Me Free, Please. Yes, go to the partners page at melkayshow.com, click on set me free, please. It's time to make sure that your money is going towards saving America. It's going towards freedom and liberty and independence and away from centralization, control, and the multinational corporations that are running the public-private partnership that is destroying our country. So again, go to the partners page at themelkayshow.com, click on Set Me Free, Please, and get started today. Great news, guys. We've been beta testing with my founding members, the Mel Kay Show, live on Sunday nights at 7 p.m., and it is going incredibly well. We have a community that we all connect. We can share information. Questions are asked of me, of other people. We share back and forth. This is really a place to go on Sunday nights. Get ready for the week. Share what's working, what's not working, how we can make things better, how we can align with each other. Wherever you are in the country, there's many things you can do. So we've added locals now. So on Locals, you can also join us on Sunday nights, or you can join members.themelkayshowlive.com. The members at melkayshowlive.com is a community for you that continues 24/7, 7 days a week. We put up many different things there, ideas, documentaries that are great. People tell what they're doing in their local community. They can reach out to other people all over the country. It's kind of has a cool Facebook vibe, but it's really about community, fellowship, helping each other, organizing, all of that. You can also just join Locals and join us on Sunday nights where you can ask questions, interact with me. I'm going to have on some of my best guests. It's an incredible platform. It's just getting started. It's totally secure. And please join us Sundays at 7 p.m. Locals or members.themelkayshowlive.com. I will see you there. This is so much fun and I'm so grateful. And now we have a totally secure community where we can all interact while we are fighting this battle for freedom and our future. See you there.